Hey guys, welcome to the last episode of the Life in General podcast. My name is Nick.
And I am the last Ian.
You are the last Ian?
Yes.
And I'm Mandy.
And so this is going to be it. It's been what, 4.5 years?
January of 2017, so it's like 5.5 years.
It would be 5 years in January, so.
It was five years.
Oh, no, January. It was five. So, wow. Yeah, we were on 6 years, so yeah. 5.5 years. Okay.
Math is hard.
It's been a long time. This is our 200th episode also, though. Mm-hmm. So.
Very cool.
But, so we figured we'd just kind of come on here and talk today. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know. We might do something again, but I don't know. I think we just kind of put our efforts towards the YouTube channel at this point and grow that some more and maybe eventually do a podcast again in the future.
We can always do something on YouTube.
That's true. We've got lots of different things we can do, but I don't know. I do have some things to talk about today. But
do you?
What's been going on, Ian?
Nothing. And
anything with you?
Nothing.
So this is
Would anything change, even though it's the last episode?
This is like an ongoing thing. You know, I've been asking Ian for a very long time, the start of every episode, hey, what's been going on? And his answer is?
Nothing.
Mandy's ready to go back to school, though.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, has to go back to school, not necessarily.
Very true. Very true.
It's very true.
I need the weather to get a little bit warmer again before I go back.
So you can enjoy it?
Yep. I need to get the sun some more.
It actually got kind of, like, not cold here in Michigan, but not as blazing hot.
I guess
hot.
That depends on, that's relative, because it's still fucking hot for
Well,
me.
Today, I mean, the last couple of days it has been, but yeah. We had several days, we had like a whole week where I don't think it even
There
broke.
Was only one day where it got below 80.
Yeah.
No,
only one day.
It was all last week, I thought.
Yeah.
No,
the whole week was below 80. 80.
It was in the 80s, but there was only one day that was below the 80s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. There was one day where the high was like 71. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that was nice. But
had all the windows open.
I had to sleep through it because that's, you know, the daytime is my nighttime.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, that'll be me here soon.
Yeah.
I go to nights October 30th.
Mm. For how long?
Until I'm off orientation.
Which is?
The end of November.
Oh, so that's not too long.
Yeah, so should be like 4 weeks, yeah. And then I'll be on nights until there's a shift bid opens up, and then I'll have enough seniority to go to a different shift.
Yeah,
which that'd be nice. It's.
Are you gonna go back to your 3-3?
Yeah, that's what the plan is. Yeah,
I hope so.
I don't like 11 A to 11 P. It's terrible. As much as I complain about like working days, I think it's almost worse than working days.
That's technically what I did for 20 years, and you guys always said, oh, you don't get anything done. That's why.
Well, yeah, that's no different than now when you work.
True, I still don't get anything done, but then there was a reason for it.
Yeah, because it's the same now. Now you still get nothing done.
Yeah. I guess that's what I have to get done, but only the bare minimum.
No, because when I have to work at 11, like, so I have to leave my house at, like, 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
And because of parking and shift change and all that stuff, I don't get home until midnight.
Right.
You know, so it really leaves no time to kind of do anything. At least when I work 3-3, I can get up. Yeah, obviously, I'm definitely getting less sleep, but, you know, I'll get up by like 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock, and I don't have to leave my house till almost 2.
Right.
So, you know, I've got enough time to do something. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be different kind of. I haven't worked nights in
years.
Since, the end of 2017?
Yeah. No, because you were working nights when I started there, but it was
shortly. It was January. Like, the first or second week in January of 2018, I went to 3-3.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
For some reason, I swore we worked nights together for, like, a little while.
Nope.
Yeah, we did, because we went out to breakfast a couple times.
Well, the one time I had the day off and I met you guys up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that's what that was then.
Because when you started in February, didn't you?
Yeah, February 12th was my first day.
I'm pretty sure it was like beginning of 2018 is when I went. But I don't know. It's been a while.
It's going to be a culture shock for sure.
It will. Mm-hmm. But,
for everybody, I'm sure.
It was funny. I was driving to work a couple of days ago. It might have been yesterday, actually. And I drive this. I've seen this semi on 23 several times. But he's got, like, this big, like, American flag on the side of it and on his trailer. Mm-hmm. And it says, if you don't love it, leave it. And I always found, I've always thought that that way of thinking is a little strange. Like, whatever you like, there you should have like no blind love to your country. I mean,
to anything, except for maybe your family. That's about it. And even that, you can pick and choose sometimes.
Yeah. I just love the, you know, because I'm sure that the people that have those kind of phrases on the side of their trucks, you know, probably the people that are bitching and complaining about the FBI right now, too.
Probably. Well, it's the same people who say, if you don't speak the language, leave.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, why do I have to press 2 for English or whatever it is when I call?
It's usually 1 for English.
Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Who the hell calls things like that anymore?
I don't know. Yeah, anything I can do on email or over the internet is what I do.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. It's always press 1 for English. But still, it's that like weird kind of patriotism that, you know, you drive by and people have like
flags.
It's not
patriotism, it's nationalism.
Okay, yeah. Nationalism as, you know, veiled patriotism.
I mean, patriotism can be almost as dangerous as nationalism. They're two sides of the same coin. One is less dangerous than the other.
There's a fine line there, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yep, very fine line.
Yeah, what's going on with you know? Have you seen all? Have you been following the stuff with the FBI?
Bit. Just a wee bit.
A wee little bit.
I honestly, I mean, I catch little things here and there if it's on TV and it's on the news, but yeah. I've really been kind of avoiding a lot of that stuff.
I'm trying to remember what the guy's name was. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. There was this politician. He's from Ohio. His name is Bo Hines. I don't know what state he's a representative from.
Well, his name screams whatever it is.
But do you guys know what a banana banana republic is?
Yeah, I actually saw that clip.
So a banana republic is an economy that's based off of like one thing. Right. Like your entire economy is
usually a small economy.
Yes.
Typically growing in a third world country area kind of thing. Yeah.
So this Bo Hines character was going on about calling the United States, making a reference to the Biden administration and comparing it to
a banana
republic. And he's like, well, this is, you know, it's not a very nice comparison to the stores in the mall.
Right. Well, he says it's even worse than a banana republic because a banana republic at least has managers who can run it properly.
Yes.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Right.
So it was funny.
Yes, but you're not a politician. You're not in office.
At all.
Yes,
not
I,
at all.
I understand like that normal, most people don't know what a banana republic is. If you're a politician, you should.
Yeah.
You should know
because
the difference.
You've most likely gone to college. Most of those people had, you know, top-notch college educations because they're all, you know, family rich.
Yeah.
So there's no reason he shouldn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But then again, we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and, you know.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious.
They don't offer IQ tests for politicians, as they should.
And I went on to his Instagram account. I think it was, I went on to Instagram. And he's got, like, he had just posted with, like, an hour before I went on there, a picture of him standing with like these other, I don't know, rich people, I'm assuming, all wearing like polos. It looks like they're like a golf outing or whatever.
I was going to say, they look like they're you know, visiting the country club.
There's no other comments on his picture yet. So I commented and said, hey, did you get that shirt of Banana Republic?
Did he reply?
No, of course not. Know,
darn it.
Yeah. That'd be funny if he did.
Yeah, I thought it was great though. I was like, come on, man. Like, if you don't know what it is, like
then don't say it. Well, because it's all talking points. It's all that they're trained at this point to do that.
Yeah.
You know, sound bites, sound clips.
Yeah. But there is a guy, is a representative. I don't know if he's a state representative. Oh, I don't remember. He might actually be running for the House in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But he said that he wants schools to start teaching both sides of the Holocaust.
Hmm?
Yes.
Both sides of the Holocaust.
Both sides of the Holocaust.
So, Holocaust bad. That's side one. Side two, Holocaust, not so bad.
Yeah. The extinguishing of millions of Jews, not so bad. It's like, you can't have that kind of stance and then not say you're not sympathetic to Nazis.
I mean,
mm-hmm. There is no silver lining in that cloud.
No. No, there's not. There's not even like... Well, I can kind of see their point. There's none of that. Yeah. It's not there, you know?
The Holocaust obviously should be taught in schools. By the way, did you see that there was, I don't know if it was just one teacher or multiple teachers that resigned. I think it was in Florida because...
They're pulling Anne Frank's, the Diary of Anne Frank, off the shelves?
No. Because they were forced to remove pictures. I don't know if it was in their classroom or whatever it was, of like Harriet Tubman and things like...
No, there's some school district is banning the Diary of Anne Frank.
Wow.
I only saw the...
What would be the reasoning behind that?
I don't know. I didn't read the article, but I don't know. Does it surprise you? I mean, really?
No, not at all, unfortunately.
In this day and age, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. How is your school district as far as, like, that kind of stuff goes, Mandy?
No comment. Right.
No one listens to this anyway.
Okay, good. No, I don't really know because I'm kind of right. in a different world working right. for the ISD, so I don't really know too much that's going on in the other classrooms, but
you hear
we
whispers?
All get along. Yeah, not really, so it's, no. you know, I no, don't know. Good. But then again, I only have up through first grade, too, so
right.
there wouldn't be those kind of books, or most likely.
Right.
It would be beginner books.
And nothing from the kids talking about, like, them coming home and saying, oh, they're talking about this book or that book.
Nope. Nobody's, indoctrinating somebody's
right.
kid.
Well, it's funny because they scream about indoctrination, but really what they're doing by banning stuff is indoctrinating by default.
Right.
You know, because you're only providing a bare minimum of information, and you're doing it through the whitewashed lens of history. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's indoctrination either way.
Well, I thought it was funny. I read something, I don't know what it was, Instagram or whatever it was, just recently, and it said that, you know, your kids aren't going off to college and being indoctrinated. They're just learning that all the racist bullshit you've been teaching them right. over the years is
yeah, they're
is
seeing
wrong.
They're seeing the world for more of what it
for
is.
What it yes. is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
I mean, were there
professors...
How dare
you indoctrinate my children with education?
Right. Were there professors, like, in the late 60s who were like, you know, taking these clean-cut kids from the suburbs and going, hey, peace, love, hippies, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sure. But it's just not...
There is no time. They don't allow us to do anything other than what's already written.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, there's no veering off course. There's no... I've yeah. never met anybody like that.
I can't imagine
teacher,
there's
so
time
understand.
To squeeze a political agenda no. into your lessons.
I mean, especially, like, yeah, you're right. In, like, regular... K through 12 school, absolutely not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there is some in college.
Yeah, but
you know, but it's like, not.
They're seeing
you're an adult at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's freedom,
and yeah. you're not just. You've got one professor who might be doing that. You go out onto the courtyard. Yep. You've got people throwing flyers at you,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
all kinds of different agendas. So, if you can't handle one teacher, you know, putting their political views forward in yeah. their in one class,
and that's it, and that's
trouble.
What I'm saying. Though, like. I'm sure it happens. It's probably very, very rare that it happens. Mm-hmm. It's not like this, like, systemic problem that, you know, a certain wing of, you know, political parties want to make it out to be. You know, but I think it's always been like that, though, yeah. as far as, like, creating this us versus them mentality.
Right.
You know, that, only rich people's kids, you know, because when our parents were growing up, it was the whole only rich people's kids went to college.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of it kind of, you know, because I think a lot of that blame comes from the older baby boomer kind of generation.
The other side, the conservative side currently, is anti-intellectual anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they push all that all the time.
Well, they have for 40 years.
Intellectually elitist. Oh, right. But what I'm saying is it's really bad now. When you've got a leader in the party, if he still is, I mean, he's a leader of a group anyway. Who says I like dumb people?
Yeah,
you know that.
Those are his people.
Those are his people.
Hey, and
I love the uneducated. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's exactly what
yeah,
he said too.
Yeah,
I mean, and it cost Liz Cheney her yeah. seat in the House.
You know what? I mean, I'm glad she's going after him. I'm glad she's taking a moral stance on something. But that's the only thing, and it's really not even the only thing because she agrees with her father agrees with her, but. That's the only thing separating her from all of the agendas his
oh,
father
pushed. I know.
But and she voted with Trump 99% of the time anyway.
The funny thing is, though, Liz Cheney could be, like, the savior of the country.
I don't see how.
Because there's all this talk right now that she could
run for president
mm-hmm. in 2024. And if she runs as a third party, she could split the Republican vote.
She could, but there was talk of her trying to run as a Democrat.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
No.
And I don't think she ever would.
No. I don't. Well, she couldn't because, I mean.
She could.
Have, I mean, she could, but.
She's not going to get votes.
She's not going to get votes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Because she is still a fucking Republican. Yeah, no.
She still has the Cheney last name.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Two Hearts.
Yeah.
Isn't he his third heart, actually?
No,
he
I think
he's his original.
Two. I think it's, well, I don't think he ever had a heart.
Well, no. I mean,
ask all the...
His blood pumper. Yeah. I know he had one heart transplant. I thought he had a second.
Ask all the thousands of people he killed.
Right.
And the one guy he shot in the face.
Right. Thousands of people he killed?
No. Tens of hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Probably close to 100,000, I'd say.
If you counted all the people that were maimed in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the people that died, it's probably in the millions.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the blood's on his hands for sure.
Yeah.
But Liz Cheney is not... Like I said,
I don't think
I'm glad she's taking
the moral
stand.
By the way, I don't think
it's
99%. I think it's like 97%.
It's way more than it should be. I'm not in like Liz Cheney camp. You know?
No, she's raised a lot of money since she lost.
I'm glad she's sticking it to Trump, and I hope she does run for something.
Yeah.
You know, anything that can pull votes away from, you know, the fascist right, I'm happy to let him do
it. So we work with a nurse who I was actually really surprised because she is one of the people, she's one of the people I heard talking relatively early on in the whole pandemic about how she was one that told me that the COVID-19 was actually created in a lab in North Carolina and like intentionally taken to China and released. And but she was even like going on, I think it was yesterday, about, you know, how they need to prosecute Trump and he better never be able to run again. And I was like, wow, I was actually a little surprised.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know what they found in the raids, but they went in with the intention to find certain things, specifically information on our nuclear capabilities.
Yeah.
Why he had those, there's no reason any logical person would think he should have those. And I don't trust him to not sell them.
Well, that's the thing. And that's what I couldn't believe was like, it was just a couple of days ago, I was flipping around and I was watching TV for a minute. And while I had the local news on, the local news was over. So I like flipped over to like, I think it was like CNN. I turned on for a couple minutes and I was like, yeah, they weren't talking about really anything. I was like, well, I'll see what.
If you want to know about what's going on there, go to MSNBC. That's all they talk about.
Yeah. I was like, oh, let's flip it on over to old crazy old Fox News and see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they had this discussion about how those, whatever was classified, was safer in Donald Trump's house than in Washington, D.C. My hand to God. They said it's safer there because the Russians and Chinese won't be able to get to it in Mar-a-Lago.
Are you kidding me?
That was a legitimate fucking conversation they had.
Is it Mar-a-Lago like a hotel? So all they need to do is just like have a reservation and show up?
Well, no, it's his house.
But isn't the compound, isn't there like a hotel and a golf course and stuff on
there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
There is. Yep, yeah. I saw it when I went on vacation.
But still, it was in the basement of whatever his house is there. But yeah, it's
where he has all his secret meetings with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, but I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I don't know who the three chuckleheads were on Fox News. But yeah, that was their conversation.
Well, last week the conversation was how, you know, it's so unprecedented that the FBI raided a former president's house that it borders on, you know.
Treason.
Mm. And this week it's probably safer that he had those things.
Yeah. It was crazy. You
know, next week it'll be. It wasn't even all that. It wasn't. It was
well,
just,
in the it wasn't in the first couple of days, the first couple of days after the raid, the whole conversation was, well, what the heck? You know, it's a crime when Donald Trump does it, but when Barack Obama does it, it's not.
He didn't.
He did.
Not to that
Hold
extent.
Hold on. No. He did, but Barack Obama had his documents in his presidential library.
Oh, right.
In Chicago, where like you have to go through the proper channels to view these things, yes.
Well, because he was investigated for it, too.
Yes.
For taking that stuff. That's what I meant. It was no wrongdoing was discovered.
No, he actually went about it the correct way.
Right.
Not having them in boxes in his basement.
Well, I mean, how can we expect Donald Trump to go about anything the correct way?
Why would Donald Trump, you know, want to steal classified documents and, potentially make
Donald Trump would sell one of his children if he could. That. Even as adults, he'd be like, you want $5 million for Ivanka?
Hold on. He had his ex-wife buried on his fucking on his golf course for a tax break.
Yeah.
Like,
I wonder if that was her wish. Do you think she really wanted to be buried there?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I wouldn't have. I mean, I can't imagine anyone.
It looks like the pictures I've seen of it looks like a pretty sad little site.
Hmm.
There's no trees or nothing. It's just a plot there.
Halfway between the 17th and 18th hole on the golf course. It's a sand trap now.
The urinals are next to it. Like,
the kids let him do that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know.
That's just.
But they're not going to. They're not going to tell him no. Just like they didn't tell him no when he was like now, here's committing the treason.
I got a question for I want both of your opinions. Who do you think ratted him out?
About what?
Trump. That there. Oh, someone for the FBI? Someone within his camp ratted him out.
It sure as hell wasn't any of his kids.
You don't think so?
No.
So then it only leaves Melania.
I don't. No, no, no. It was probably like just a low-level housekeeper or something.
But it was in a safe and all that. How would they even know?
I don't know.
It would have had to have been someone in his inner circle.
Yeah.
Did he know they were coming? I don't understand why he didn't take them and give them to somebody else. They're not in my house.
They did know that the FBI was coming because his attorneys met them there. Mm-hmm.
Right. So why? They're notified. Go hide it somewhere else. Like why did he leave it there for them
time.
To find?
No, they gave him enough time.
I heard about it on the news like 3 days before it happened. Like they're gonna go get him. They're gonna go get him. Like, isn't that enough time?
I thought that they were notified that morning.
Yeah.
I mean, not actually like the notification, but like they were talking about it. We're going to go do this. Like, wouldn't you go hide it then?
Yeah, if I get the idea that the FBI is on my trail, I'm wiping hard drives, I'm burning papers.
I'm just not going to do
I don't even have anything. I'm like...
I'm not going to do the things to get the FBI on my radar. Like,
right, right. But I mean, even me, like boring ass me, I'd be like,
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I might have a few video files. Like, right. I downloaded a couple episodes of, you know, whatever, Game of Thrones off a torrent. Delete all that. Wipe the hard drive. You know?
You don't want to wipe the hard drive because they can still find it on there. You need to, like...
I'd smash the hard drive.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know have any... I don't know
Hulk
how to...
Hulk smash.
Yeah, I don't know how to wipe a hard drive anyway. No. I have like, a bunch of external hard drives, too, so I don't know what the hell's on any of that.
Ian goes to jail.
Two of them are like, they don't even work anymore. Nice. No, it's all like, anything, it's like stolen music and
now
shit.
Now you sound like R. Kelly. I don't know what any of them.
No, it'd be like.
He peeing on people? I don't know anything about any of that.
I never videotape myself peeing on people.
By the way.
I only videotape when they pee on me.
Ew.
I guess that girl's been testifying.
I saw that too.
Did you see that?
It
was his goddaughter,
and he was having sex with her when she was as young as 15, and he had her going and trying to find other young girls to bring to him.
But the part of her testimony was, they were like whoever was asking her questions. I guess it must have been her attorney because they haven't cross examined her yet. Mm-hmm. But they were like, "Well, why did R. Kelly hand you?" Because in his 2008 trial, she denied everything and refused to testify, mm-hmm. and. Again, the videos were from the 90s,
right?
When she was younger. But they were like, well, why did R. Kelly hand you money in the beginning of one of the videos? And she was like, oh, because he said that if we ever got caught or if the video ever got leaked, it needed to look like I was a prostitute and he was paying me.
Oh, my gosh.
So you could say, well, I didn't know she was like 15.
Yeah. Sick. He's
shitty people out there.
Well, he's already, I mean, I think he already got 50 years in prison, I think, is what... is what he already got. Now he's facing even more
time.
More time.
Yeah, I don't see him ever getting out.
No.
At least not when he's healthy or anything.
No. Well, and the other thing is, like, but she wasn't the only one.
No, I mean, no. Well, like I said,
in the 90s, everyone knew his relationship with Aaliyah.
Yeah.
And she was underage then also.
Yep.
Right. There was no hide. They didn't even hide that.
Was she over 16, though? Because there's some states where 16 is okay.
Yeah, I think she was... She was definitely over 16 because I think she was 8. No, maybe she was 17 when her first album came out. I don't know.
She, as long as her parents consented to the relationship.
It depends on what state it's
right,
in.
Right, again, it depends on what state.
And
well, there's some states where it's even younger than 16.
No,
so.
16 is the lowest. There's only two states that's 16.
There's several states where 13-year-olds can get married, though.
Correct, with parental consent.
Oh my God.
But the age of consent for sex is 16 in two states. I believe.
So
Michigan being one of them.
So if you want to have sex with an underage person, just marry them.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there were several states that were trying to outlaw the minimum age for marriage anyway.
Yeah. Like, several well-known Republicans voted against it. Like, against it. You know, they wanted it to make it.
They voted in favor of it.
In favor of, right. Yeah. That's what I meant.
In favor of
like, you know, human decency is what I'm pointing out.
Yeah. Oh, you're 10? Oh, yeah, you can marry this person. But anyway, at the time, like, I want to say when she was, I like quickly did the math. When she was 15, I want to say R. Kelly was like 33 or 34.
He was in his 30s. He was in his early 30s. Yeah. That's what the article said. I don't know.
But it's the same thing. It's always
was music even any of that good?
Yeah, a couple of good songs.
Yeah. With a little bump and grind.
Yeah, he was bumping and grinding with a 15-year-old.
I know. It kind of makes it not as fun to sing
anymore.
Didn't
he sing Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, or who sang that song?
I don't know. I believe I can fly.
I believe I can touch this girl.
Stop.
I believe I could pee in her eye. But the thing is always that's always gotten me is like, especially now, especially being a parent, like if one of our kids, because we've got, you know, younger teenage kids, and if one of them started hanging out with a
30-something-year-old,
yeah, I'd have fucking questions about it. And that's the thing that's always got me about like the whole thing, the cases against Michael Jackson, and because it happens over and over and over again. Like,
at least with the Michael Jackson thing, money, I guess. I don't know, fame.
But,
then they claim that they just didn't know that was going on. I mean, you watched the documentary.
I know that. But, like, even if, like, the adult was giving me free trips around the world to Europe and things like that and buying me a house, I still wouldn't let my fucking 13-year-old child alone with them.
No. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let them go on those trips. I wouldn't.
Oh, no. Like, with the Michael Jackson situation was he was sending the adults off on a trip, and then the kid was staying with
him. I'm saying, but the kids were touring with him, too.
Yeah.
And the parents were, but they had separate hotel rooms. I'm like, no. This kid's not going on tour with you.
It's fucking weird.
It is. I just don't. My parents never let me do that, ever.
Yeah. No. It just, and then you see all this stuff happen. You're like, oh, well. No wonder they got molested. Right. I mean, and obviously I'm not blaming the child.
No.
I'm blaming the person that did the molesting and the parents
who allowed it to
happen.
Right. Even if it was through ignorance.
Yeah.
You know? Just because
ignorance and that is
it's not an excuse.
It's not a defense
in
those cases.
I don't think so.
So I don't know. Like with the R. Kelly situation, like she testified that they were having sex, like, in hotel rooms and, like, on a tour bus. And, like, where are your parents at? You're 15 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it.
I don't know. Nowadays, you can track your kids wherever they go. They get phones.
Yeah.
But I guess even to that, if they know they're out with R. Kelly or
turn the phone
Michael
off.
Jackson or whoever, they're out with a famous
person. All you have to have is one of the security officers say, oh, we need to take your phone because we don't want the paparazzi to find us.
Well, what was the whole thing with Corey Haim? Wasn't him and Corey Feldman, weren't they molested by...
Well, I don't know about Corey Feldman. He's been very vague about his molesting or the molesting that was done to him. But he was very vocal about what happened to Corey Haim.
Well, who was it?
Charlie Sheen.
It was Charlie Sheen. I knew it was an actor.
Charlie Sheen raped him on the set of Lucas.
But of course, there's
no evidence.
There's no evidence of it. But Charlie Sheen hasn't sued him over it either.
Well, and not only that, but let's look at Charlie Sheen. 20 years ago, if I heard that, which I didn't, I only heard it in the last 10 years. But 20 years ago, if I'd heard that, I'm like, no. I mean, he's kooky, but not that. Now it's not that. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
it really doesn't. And Corey Haim was fucked up.
Oh yeah, absolutely he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had no concept of anything beyond that age level. Like, you never matured past that age level, which is consistent with people who are molested at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you know, he ended up having a tragic life, really.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. And I can't see, if Corey Feldman was making it up, I can't see him going after someone high profile like that.
No, no.
And to make it up.
He's going after, just recently he was going after Marilyn Manson also. Because I guess Corey Feldman was putting together some kind of tour. I don't know if he was doing like a speaking tour or whatever it was. And he claims that somehow, I didn't read the whole article, but somehow Marilyn Manson sabotaged it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Corey Feldman's got his own issues too.
Oh, absolutely.
He's messed up, but you know. I never saw this. It was like 1989, and he was out on tour promoting the movie Dream a Little Dream. But yeah. He was also starting his music career.
Yeah.
And there's a video of it. I saw it. It was like on this one of those YouTube videos where it's like all crazy things in Hollywood that happen on, you know, on live TV or whatever. And he does his song where he's basically doing a Michael Jackson dance. He's lip syncing it. Which back then was bad.
Yeah. Just ask Milli Vanilli.
Right. And then there was something else, but it was the weirdest thing because it wasn't even like a big like talk show type thing. It was one of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Really?
Yeah. Just it was like, I don't know whose idea that was.
It was Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman, yeah.
Huh. I don't know, man. They've definitely. I remember, what was that reality show that they did? The two Coreys or something like that?
It was shortly before Haim died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I know. It lasted three seasons, and then he died like a year later.
No, I thought he died like a long time later.
No.
Because they did like.
My phone's over there. Otherwise, I'd look it up.
Fine. I'll look it up. Well, do you remember what it was called?
The two Coreys.
Was it the two Coreys?
Yeah. I think it ran three seasons. I've watched a couple episodes of it, and even then, I'm like.
I think we watched them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only saw a couple, but it's like the one where Corey Feldman's wife is like trying to show him how to do his fucking laundry, and he's like he's 40.
Yeah, it says. Hold on, it's IMDb.
I think
it says 2007.
And when did he die?
And it said it ran for two seasons.
Two seasons. Okay. When did Corey Haim die?
2010.
Oh. It just seemed like it was like on and then he was dead.
Because I thought it was like they did the two Coreys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corey Feldman started doing his own reality show.
I don't remember that. I know he was trying to push his music career then, too. He had his band.
I think he was doing his own reality show. Corey Haim ended up in one of the like episodes where he like came back from like nowhere. And then I think he died shortly after that.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, he was in and out of rehab that whole time anyway. Yeah. So I don't know.
A lot of those 80s child actors had, like, really tragic lives,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, some of them did, but whether it was tragic or not, most of them turned out all right.
Well, the comment you said about him not being able to do his laundry, that shows you right there how much that messed them up.
Oh, right, right.
It's not his fault at all. It was being taken away so young.
It started because his mom basically sold him to the
And that's what happens.
Industry,
like I
and the industry raped him, literally and figuratively. So, but yeah, I don't know. But I'm talking about like, you know, the other child stars, like, you know. They all had issues for sure, but
yeah.
But well, I mean, they all come out the other end. I mean,
River Phoenix didn't.
No, well, yeah. I mean, there's a few that didn't, but Molly Ringwald's okay, Anthony Michael Hall's okay, Judd Nelson's okay, Kiefer Sutherland's okay.
Yeah,
you know, they all kind of came out of it all right.
Were they young though?
They're teens, early teens,
early.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, I mean, obviously he hasn't, like, died, but
no,
he's...
No, I mean, he's still a huge fucking star.
Yeah, I know, but he's had some...
All of it comes from... It's all speculation because of his attachment to Scientology.
Who was that other kid? Damn, what was his name? He was in a bunch of stuff, and then he died.
Well, it was Brad Renfro. He died. River Phoenix.
Jonathan Brandis.
He committed suicide.
That's dying.
You want to know what's ironic, though? He committed suicide shortly after auditioning for Anakin Skywalker in episode 2.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He didn't get the part, and he's like, damn it.
Yeah, and then he saw, hey, that guy got the part over me. I'm done.
Yeah, that guy can't even fucking act.
Right. So.
But there's been a long list of people that, look here, 25 child actors who died young. Heather O'Rourke.
Well, she died of pneumonia.
That was Gary Coleman, but
he wasn't young. He died in his 40s.
I know, and he had a lot of health problems throughout his life. Corey Haim, which we talked about.
Dana Plato from Different Strokes. She died.
She committed suicide too.
Didn't she?
I thought it was overdose.
Well, was it?
I guess it's different.
Yeah.
Judith Barcy? I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
I don't even know what she was in. Michelle Thomas.
I don't know that either.
Yeah. Well, Dana Plato, was that an overdose that she?
Like I said, it might have been suicide, but I know she was in and out of rehab.
Yeah, she was.
Even when Different Strokes was on. I think there's a whole season where she's not even there. She's off at college, and that's because she was in rehab.
Said found dead from an overdose of prescription drugs at 34, which was later ruled a suicide.
Brittany Murphy. Well, she had a really weird fucking...
Have
you watched a documentary about...
Yes. I haven't, but I know there's speculation.
You need to.
There's speculation that she may not have killed her. There may not have been an accident.
No, and then her husband died of the same thing a year later.
Right, right. So, I don't know. Is her childhood just fucked up?
Who?
No, I think Brittany it was Murphy. Just the whole death thing was really weird. And the guy she was married to is just super weird, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on this list that they look really familiar, but I don't know who they are or what they were in. Yeah, Brad Renfro, which you guys said.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually cast to be in Freddy vs. Jason.
Ashley Aston Moore. Who? She looks... Oh, she was in Now and Then, Mandy. Mm-hmm. That girl.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
She died in 2007 from a drug overdose.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen with Ezra Miller now that he's come out and said, I'm all messed up and need help?
Did he finally?
Yeah, they found him.
Did they find the two? The mother and the daughter.
I know that he's. He said he's going to get psychiatric help.
Well, he needs it.
Obviously, but.
Shit! Who's this kid? Well, what was he in? He looks really familiar too.
Oh, he's in a bunch of Disney stuff.
He died. He had an illness.
Yeah, I think he ended up died with a few seizure. Years ago. Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah, he had some kind of like congenital
epilepsy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they get River Phoenix on there too. Yeah. But yeah, there's, I don't know, it just seems like a lot of, even the ones that didn't die, a lot of those like child actors from the 80s
and 90s.
Yeah,
they all suffered.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
the problem is that there's the vision, the public view of things where, you know, they have to go to school so many hours a day, they can't work past certain times, they can't work more than so many days a week. So there's structure, but it's just like anything else.
Well, there's no oversight of that structure.
There is. When they're on a set, that is very structured. Then the people in charge of the movie will get sued and or arrested for breaking those laws.
Okay.
Those are laws. Those are not. It's not like policies. That's law.
Okay.
It's part of the child labor laws stuff.
Well, you have to remember, there's a lot of movies that aren't like necessarily filmed here in the United States. Also.
True, but if they're filmed overseas, it's a different story. But a lot of shit's filmed in Canada too, and there's laws even stricter than ours. So there's the surface structure, but the problem is that once you know the weekend off or in between filming, you know you meet all these people and the parents again. Let them, you want to go to a party with Robert Downey Jr. in the 1990s? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I loved him in that one movie.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, go ahead. And then, of course, you know, what are you going to do? You're seeing all this stuff. If you're a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old person, and you're at a party with a bunch of adults who are doing drugs, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
Whatever they tell you to do.
Yeah. Even not. You're just going to do it. You're going to be like, I'll take some of that. I'll have a drink.
Let's shoot heroin. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, we all know how easy it is for people to get hooked on this shit. If it wasn't, we wouldn't see these problems.
Yeah.
So some of them come out of it. Drew Barrymore's another example of someone who came out of that.
Yeah.
It took her a long time to come out of it.
Yeah.
Well.
And that's what I'm saying, though. It's like not everyone. It's not just the people that died that had, like, you know, horrible issues, I think, related to being young in Hollywood.
Yeah. But there's a lot of success stories, and there's a lot of people, they may not be, like, superstars anymore or even in the business anymore.
Yeah.
But they're not dead. They're not in jail. They're not, you know, whatever. They had their moment, and they fucked it up.
Yeah.
But they're still alive.
And now they're Jeopardy hosts.
She didn't have any drug issues.
I know that.
No, she went to college, became a surgeon.
No, no, well, I don't know.
I was going to say, she was neuro.
She was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here before something happens to me.
Right. And I mean, she came back. Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Big actress.
Yeah.
I know, I've never watched her cat show, but I watched.
Cat show?
Yeah, Call Me Cat or whatever.
Oh, I don't even know
what
it is.
It's the sitcom she started right after Big Bang Theory was over.
Oh.
It's still on as far as
I never watched Big Bang Theory either.
Yeah. I like Big Bang Theory because I get the humor, but
I never got into CBS.
No, for the most part, shows. I don't either.
I don't know why.
That's the only one.
It was like I never really watched anything on CBS.
I just get it because the jokes it's like geared to me, yeah. And it's all like mm-hmm. geek stuff, you know. So I get the jokes, I get the humor, and Kaylee Cuoco is not bad to look at.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know.
There's a lot of times where she's just in like a tank top with no bra on, and it's fantastic. Okay. I mean, especially in those early seasons.
You can watch Friends and get that.
Yeah. I like Friends. Friends is well written and it's hilarious, but there's other fringe benefits too.
I remember I saw a meme within the last several days. I follow a couple of different like Friends pages. Uh-huh. And someone was like referencing, I don't remember if you guys remember the Friends episode or not, but everyone found out that Ross would like made out with his 50-year-old librarian when he was in school. Yeah. And they were like giving a bunch of grief for it. And then, like, it was a split shot of that scene. And then, like, Jennifer Aniston, who's 50. And they were like, oh. Right. Yeah. Well, the librarian looked like that.
Some magazine or something just came out and announced that they consider her the most beautiful woman alive right now.
Really?
I believe it.
She looks gorgeous. Fantastic.
She really does.
So, yeah. And she hasn't had any work done, from what I can tell.
I don't think so.
Well, she definitely 100% has had work done.
Well, she had her nose done in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because I've seen pictures of her before Friends.
Yes.
She had her fucking nose done. In fact, they make fun of it in Friends. That when you see her as a young girl, like the prom episode.
She has that big nose.
That's the nose she had in real life before Friends. So we definitely know that. But, you know, as far as like old.
She has definitely aged gracefully.
Yes.
Very much yes. so.
And very well. But she
doesn't have kids, so
that's
she's
true.
Got that going
that's,
for her.
Yeah.
That's true.
I know that's adding an extra 10 years to my life. I think I've used it up, but it added 10 extra years. I smoked that away, but I got it.
That's funny. Courtney Cox
she's had a lot of work
that
done.
Ruined her face, I think.
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
Because I think she's kind of aging into it now.
She looked like a fucking, I don't know, like a puffer fish or what the fuck happened.
No, she looked like somebody grabbed her face and just pulled it back.
Yes. Yeah, she just looked bad.
But she's aging into it. She is looking better. Yes. So yeah, she's looking a lot better.
But the funny thing is, if you look at like all the cast members of Friends, like the only ones that look like they've aged is
Matthew Perry
and Courtney Cox. The rest of them all look the same.
Huh.
Like all the
Well, I mean, Joey's gotten fat.
That's true.
And he's gray.
He's gray.
Lisa Kudrow looks great.
David Schwimmer looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah, you can see the wrinkles, but yeah, he hasn't really changed much.
Yeah.
So.
And then, what's his name that played Phoebe's husband, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd. Yeah. Paul Rudd looks the same as he did in like 1995.
No, he does, just with you can see the wrinkles. They're there.
He's a fucking vampire. Paul Rudd is a fucking vampire.
I don't know.
Tom Cruise is a fucking vampire also.
Tom Cruise has had obvious work, though.
Yeah. But it doesn't like look like
it's not
like
bad.
It.
It's not bad, but it's obvious.
Yeah.
Just you can see it.
It's not like Mickey Rourke obvious.
No, no.
One of the worst.
Nothing. Yeah, that's botched.
I don't know if it was in the early 90s or late 90s, after his career was kind of starting to wane down, he became a boxer. So his face got pounded like constantly, and then he had the surgery.
Mm.
So
it was bad.
Yeah.
That was some of the worst plastic surgery I've seen.
Right. Yeah, no, he looks terrible.
Yeah. But now he just plays villains because his face looks like a punching bag.
Right. He reminds me of that character in the Dick Tracy movie, the melty face.
Yes.
I can't remember the character's name, but that's what he looks like. Sometimes. Right. And then other times he looks like, you know, again, like his face is pulled mm-hmm. back. Like,
yeah.
There's one picture of him where it looks literally looks like he's wearing a Mickey Rourke mask. Like the way his hair is, it looks like there's a fucking mask.
But if you look at a picture of him before he had plastic surgery.
Oh, no, he was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I don't get why. I never understood the boxing thing, because I think that's where it started. Because when you get your face pounded that much, mm-hmm. and then try to have it fixed, I don't know. I just...
If you're an actor, why would you let someone punch you in the face repeatedly anyway? I mean...
Was he just out of money, you know?
From what I understood, he always wanted to be a boxer anyway. I don't know.
Do boxing movies then. Don't.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, be Rocky.
Yeah, don't be a punching bag.
Yeah. I'm a little upset with Sylvester Stallone because he's bad-mouthing shit. If they didn't want him part of Rocky 3 or Creed 3, fine. If they want to make a Drago movie, fine. Why do you have to bad-mouth this shit that they're raping his baby?
So, that's a really bad thing to say when we were talking mm-hmm. about R. Kelly.
Well, right, right. But that's essentially what he's saying. He says they're bloodsuckers. They're sucking his property dry.
When we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I was under the impression that he didn't want to be part of Creed 3.
He wanted to write and direct it.
Yeah. And I didn't know that part of it. Yeah, I think that's where he's just fucking salty about it all.
Yeah. But why does he have to be so bad-mouthing it? You know, I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I want to know how they were able to make the movie without his say-so. Like, he must have signed off on something somewhere.
Rocky's not in it. I mean, I know there's just characters, but there's other people who own that property. MGM has rights to it.
Yeah.
Erwin Winkler owns a lot of the rights because he's produced all of them. You know, so there's other people.
I would assume that he would have rights to the characters,
of
though.
Probably character of Rocky. Maybe not the side characters.
He wrote them, though.
Doesn't matter. He still had to give up something to get that movie made, especially since he wanted to star in it.
Yeah. But, like, I think the only characters from Rocky that are in Creed 3 is Apollo's wife.
Right. And it's not even the same actress. It's Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know who the actress was who played her. And well, two different actresses played her. Yeah. It was one in Rocky 3, 2 and 3 maybe, and then that other chick who played her in Rocky 4. Yeah. So I can only picture, she reminds me of the aunt, the first aunt from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't know who she is, though. But no, it's, I don't know. It's
now I'm seeing Dionne Warwick. I don't
know why. It definitely was not Dionne Warwick.
It definitely wasn't Dionne Warwick.
That's why I said at some point somewhere he must have given up rights to that. Or, you know what, it might have been the contract they signed
to make Creed.
Right.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It may have something to do with the fact that once Creed was made, it kind of split off.
Yeah,
so... Don't get me wrong. I would have been happy to see Rocky in any Creed movie because it's not about him anymore. But it's I mean he has that peripheral thing. I'm cool with it.
There's an aura to the character.
But does he need to be there? No. Yeah. I would have just been happy to see him. And I just don't like the fact that he's bad mouthing everything.
Yeah.
Especially the Drago thing. He called out Dolph Lundgren, who was just like, okay, they offered me this idea. Like, you know, I said yes.
Are they moving forward with?
No, I don't think so. But then. Sylvester Stallone said a bunch of shitty things about him, and he's like, no, it's not about that. I wasn't trying to hurt, not to Sylvester Stallone. He did a post.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, nothing had happened. This was just talk.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sylvester Stallone's one of my best friends in the world. And Sylvester Stallone still badmouthed him. I'm like,
that's the bad thing about, like, social media and the way everything works now. And I think we even talked about it recently. It's like, because back in the day, all this stuff would happen around behind the scenes, and no one would ever know about it until, you know, decades later.
No one has to know about it. There's no law that says Sylvester Stallone has to post all of his shitty ideas on fucking
social media. But that's where, you know, that's what they do.
But
they all
have
of them do
to.
It.
Creed's still getting made. Yeah. He could have still talked to Dolph and said, look, you know, let me look at the script. You know, let's make sure we're both on the same page.
Yeah.
Because they're friends. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, and he's had Dolph Lundgren and a bunch of other stuff. Creed 2 was
and
a
I'm
big...
sure he's getting royalties off of all of it.
Right. Yeah, he's probably still making money. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't get people anymore.
Mm-mm. They just complain about everything.
I gotta say one thing. I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Not on the Rocky thing. So...
On the Holocaust thing?
No, no. I don't even know if I could.
On the R. Kelly thing?
No. This is a new one, but it could make me look a little bad, but I'm going to try and say it in a way that doesn't make me look bad.
Okay.
But so a few years back, Demi Lovato said that she wanted to change her pronouns to they, them. She was non-binary. Okay, great. But now she's changing it back. How are we anyone supposed to know? I mean, if she was just, if I didn't read that article and I walked up to her and I said, they, hey, how you doing? You know, and now she again. How are we supposed to know?
She would just say.
Yeah, but there's that stigma about, you know.
There shouldn't be.
Well, right. There shouldn't be. But there's this idea that it's not people who are gender fluid or non-binary to educate us. I've heard them say that. Not her specifically, but I've heard that say. It's not their job to educate us. It's our job to learn. But we can't learn if they don't fucking tell us. Just because I have a hard time with it anyway.
That's what I'm saying is because I think at least the situations that I've seen at the hospital is there are those situations because work and check-in, you don't know all the time.
Right, right.
And I have seen them say, oh, I go by this.
Yeah,
or, right.
They just say it simple and move on.
And that's perfectly fine.
I think the people that are making a big deal about it is the very vocal minor.
Right, as it always is. Yeah. As it always is. Yeah. But it was like, how are we supposed to be accepting and all that if you keep changing it?
Then that's not accepting. Like, why do you care if they're
changing? But it's to that like Nick was saying, that vocal minority that are going to bitch and complain about it. It's like
they're
gonna
do it anyway, even if they know that she's changed her pronouns, right. You know.
As far as I'm concerned, you can be whatever you fucking want to be.
It
makes no fucking difference to me.
I had a patient a few weeks ago, several weeks ago now, that was transgender, and it's just out of habit. Mm-hmm. It was a trans female and her friend. Mm-hmm. There were a male friend that was in the room. Mm-hmm. And when I was walking out, I said, well, it was either when I was walking out or was walking in, I was like, hey, do you guys need anything? Just guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's something I just do. I mean it. You know,
people.
Yes. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
And you know, she could have been like, oh, and got an issue with it. But she didn't. She just kind of rolled with it.
Well, I think that might be regional, too, because I know I do that all the time. Everyone I know does that. Mm-hmm. So that could be a regional thing. They may not do that anywhere else. But if they're.
I don't mean. When I say guys, like.
It's
gender neutral.
It's gender neutral, exactly.
Even though it's not. Like.
Well, right. But in the way we use it and the way we've grown to use it, it is non-gender. Yeah. It's, you know, gender neutral, as you said. My dad has a problem with that, and he's a boomer.
Yeah.
But when him and his wife are out to dinner and someone says, you guys, he's like, my wife is not a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has a big problem. Like, it's just how we talk. Yeah. It's always, as far as I know, that's how it's always been. You know, hey, you guys. That's how I've always done it, you know?
Maybe it started with us, then.
It could have. Maybe it was a Gen X thing. I don't know. Maybe. It might have been.
Or whatever gen we are now, aren't we?
Well, we're still Gen X.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not taking that away from me.
Weren't they going to change it to, cause they were like, well, we're not really Gen X, they're Gen something else. Like the 3-year span or something like that.
Xennials is what we're supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
They were change it to, but.
Oh, okay.
You know.
But that's not a thing.
No.
I guess. I don't know. I don't follow any of the generational bullshit.
No, I take some pride in being a Gen Xer because, you know, it is kind of the best. We had the best movies. We had the best music.
Mm-hmm. We were the last generation before the internet.
Yeah, exactly. We had all the. Kind of the benefits of what the millennials got without all that fucking baggage.
We
had to work harder for their shit too.
I will correct you a little bit, I guess, and that's because technically, don't millennials start at like 83?
I think it's 81.
Or 81. So I mean, I guess technically. Millennials came up without the internet.
True,
and all
that
stuff
too. Early group, because I think millennial it goes until like. The 1990s, like 96.
95. This one says, another one said 94, so somewhere right around there.
So mid-90s.
Technically, I'm a millennial. According to all these, it starts 1980.
Oh, 80?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 81 or something.
That's
like
what I always thought, too.
Nope.
But it is. It's different depending on who you talk to.
Right.
But 80 is that's the earliest I've seen it for
millennials. Because then, like, early Gen X is like the...
Late. It's like 1969.
That's like
65 is
65?
What all
65
like that's way different.
That's boomers.
But the boomers start in 46, so it's like, you know, anyone I guess younger than our parents, I can see, you know.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. I just lump all those together because even like technically the older like Gen Xers think ideologically speaking are more like baby boomers than
Right. For me, I kind of 71 is kind of where I start with the Gen X thing, you know. If you go back to 65, I mean, you could lump celebrities. Tom Cruise falls into that.
Yeah.
So he's a Gen Xer. Robert Downey Jr., you know, all the people that we watched as kids, you know, in those teen movies and all that, they were born in the 60s.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
In the late 60s at that. So.
I don't even know where the hell we were going with
that. No, I mean, because this is our last episode, we wanted to just kind of just.
Bullshit?
Yeah. You know, stream of consciousness.
Yeah. You know, well, that was definitely it.
Brain droppings, as George Carlin.
I couldn't even tell you where we were going with any of that. But no.
I was just curious because it's like, you know, the Demi Lovato thing. It's just like I get it, but why? I mean, I guess, and this is all my issue. I have to try and be. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't. You know, I don't want anything to stop anyone from being who they want to be and who they are. But I just don't understand it,
right?
You know, and I'm working on that. That's something I have to work on. That's me personally. But I don't understand it. So, someone who is, you know, I got to get around the whole language part of it. You know, gender versus sex and all that other stuff. But you know, I grew up understanding male, female is that. You know, it's binary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little easier for me to understand someone who was born male, who thinks they're female, and vice versa. But when you throw all the other ones in there, it's like, I don't get that. I don't get it. And I don't I have to. Don't, it makes yeah, no difference say, really whether or not I understand it. I want to understand it because I want that much more level of acceptance because that's the type of person I am. But it's just so hard if they're going back and forth now. It's like, where does it end?
I think some of it plays into the negative stereotypes that have been built up for, you know, 40 plus years on homosexuals and things like that.
Well, I mean, you can go back farther than that.
No, I know, but
yeah, I mean, like I said, it really, my frustration with it comes more from me. It has nothing to do with them because they're just being them. So it's all coming from me, and I would want to be more accepting and more understanding, but I don't understand it, you know? So that's all.
Just ask.
Yeah. Ask but some, and again, sometimes it can be construed as wrong to ask, too.
I don't think so. I've talked to a lot of people, and that's what they always say. They always tell me, just ask me. Yep. Yeah. And they said, if it's a big deal, then we'll move on. If it's not, then I'll just answer it and move on. Right.
Because I'm sure if that's the case, they probably get asked a lot. They probably get sick of the answer. I had a situation at work where I checked in somebody, and it wasn't obvious. It was a male name, but it said on the chart, pronoun female. And it had in parentheses their preferred name.
Yeah.
And the nurse got up and I don't remember the nurse. It was one of the guy nurses. He's like, what did he say? Is hey, dude, or something like that. It was something like that. Or hey, buddy. I don't know. It was just being cordial. You know, like, what's wrong with you, buddy? Or, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, she. You know, I didn't say it like, you know, me. And I said it. And he didn't react to it. And he just kept doing that. Like he kept, there was definitely a male. He was expressing the male side of it when he should have been expressing the female side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So it's still there. And I understand that that's gotta be tough for people who are, you know, they may not show it on the outside, but on the inside, they're not male anymore. They're female. And it's like,
I just think of it like if somebody called me a boy, I'd be like, whoa, I'm a girl. And then that's it. You know what I mean? That's how you have to think about it. Put yourself in there. Like if somebody called you a girl, you'd be like, no, I'm a boy.
Depends.
And
you know,
then you move on.
If you're a kid and you're a boy and you get called a girl, you get in a fight. But as an adult, you know, with you know, some level of rationality, you're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have man boobs.
Thanks for the memories. Yeah.
So, you know.
No, and that's why I think like – like Mandy said, you should always just ask because probably 99 times, 99 and a half times out of 100, they're going to be fine. And so, you know, this is, it's just this.
Right.
It's very rare you're ever going to run into somebody that's going to be, like, openly hostile about mm-hmm. you yeah. asking them.
Right. I just don't even want to be in that position. I mean.
I did have a patient. It was my first patient I've had so far that has pissed me off.
The first? Only the, one?
The first patient that I've had as a nurse.
As a nurse.
Caring
okay.
for.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had patients before pissed me off. But yeah. this guy really kind of irritated me. And I was in his room just kind of bullshitting with him. And he was there because he was having chest pain. And, of course, he was COVID positive also. But his whole thing, well, he was kind of pissed because he just wanted to go back to work. And he didn't know why he had to sit there as long as he had been. So I was in his room just kind of bullshitting with him. And we were talking about his kids and... He was like, oh, yeah, you know, he was telling me where he lived. He lives in a rural kind of area in southeastern Michigan. But he was talking about how his one kid lives in, like, his two kids both moved and live in, like, a ritzier part of southeastern Michigan. And so he was talking about how he wanted to live down in Tennessee. So we were, of course, as, you know, someone that lived in Tennessee, I was interested in where he wanted to move to. I was telling about me, you know, working in Nashville and things like that. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I always wanted to live. I want to live in like in the over on like the east side of the mountains. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's really pretty over there. Mm-hmm. And then he started going on about, well, you know, because there's nothing but a bunch of fags and transvestites that live in cities. And they're what's ruining this country. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this room now before I say something I should not say. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get
it. The other nurse I was working with, I had him go in there after that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to go in there and deal with him.
No, I wouldn't want to either. Yeah.
But it's like.
See, that's the kind of, and I guess that's what I was getting at. It's like, there's intolerance like mm-hmm. that. And then there's, you know, people who are just in, don't pay any yeah. attention either
But it's
way.
People like that that look at her changing her pronouns that it justifies their thinking to themselves.
Right. Right. And that's kind of, that was the other thing I was saying is like, well, you know, if I'm thinking this as someone who I consider myself an ally, at least a, you know, someone who's definitely not going to get in anyone's way.
Yeah.
Why would you open yourself up to that? And why you're opening up the community to a degree too. But again, it's, they're opening it up to a vocal minority on yeah. the other side too. So yeah. I don't know. Just
it's always easier to ask.
There's times in the world seems way more complicated than it should be, and then other times it's almost way too simplistic, and it's like borderline on regression, you know.
How?
The way people think.
Oh, I mean,
you know.
I think you're always going to have that.
I don't know. I think we're at a dangerous point now.
Ian, just remember, we are little creatures running around on a spinning rock mm-hmm. out in nothing.
Yeah.
That's.
I know. Who are you telling? I don't apply anything more, you know, elaborate or esoteric to it than that. Yeah. You know,
we're spinning around nice and fast, or not spinning if you believe in flat Earth, but.
No, we're talking real here. This is the real stuff.
Well,
the Earth is spinning at about 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
We are literally moving at 1,000 miles an hour right
but
now.
That's probably not true, because if that was the case, I could put like a ball on the ground. If we were spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, it would move, wouldn't it?
Not because of gravity. Because we're moving that fast and the planet is so dense.
Well gravity doesn't exist. Remember, gravity is fake.
I'm going to miss these conversations.
Oh, I think what's the Millie Bobby Brown, the girl from, is that her name?
I still haven't found anything about that.
I guess she said recently that she's no longer a flat earther.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never found anything that said she was.
Yeah.
So. All right. She's 18. She can do whatever she wants.
I know that.
She's a dumb kid, you know.
But I was like, come on, you're like, you've been in planes before. You've seen that the earth is not flat.
A lot of people have been in planes, and yet there's still a big chunk of people who believe in flat earth, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing I've never. I always kind of laughed at, because it's like, well, we haven't really thought. We disproved that like hundreds of years ago.
25% of the U.S. population believes the Earth is only 6,000 years old. 25%.
I know, we've talked about that.
So what I mean that, what does that tell you?
Carbon dating is fake.
Well, that's the easy answer. I've actually heard people say that it's God's way of trying to confuse us, so that we, or Satan's way of confusing us, so we don't believe in God. So.
I know. Mandy, Mandy, there are religious people.
Oh, Lord help us. There are religious people
that believe that we as humans rode on dinosaurs.
Right. Because it's the only way we can explain the dinosaur fossils. Yeah. It's a fairly new thing. I mean, it only lasts 100 years. The Flintstone philosophy is what I call it.
Yeah.
If you go to the Ark thing in Kentucky, there's actually a dinosaur exhibit in there.
Really? Yeah.
So apparently there were dinosaurs on the Ark too. These giant reptiles that would probably eat the entire population of the Ark in one day, but they managed to last 40.
Speaking of dinosaurs, have you guys seen the new Jurassic Park movie?
No.
Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was fine, yeah. It wasn't great. It's not like a, you know, epic movie or anything like that, but it was fine. It kept our attention.
I was actually surprised that it's gotten really good reviews.
Yeah.
And I was not a fan of the last several of them.
I mean, it's still obviously about finding dinosaurs and what to do and chasing you, all that kind of thing, but it's more focused on the relationships of the first cast and then this cast.
That's probably why it's gotten the reviews.
I think so. I think everybody just really enjoyed and appreciated seeing those originals back in it.
Crazy Jeff Goldblum.
He's not crazy.
He seems crazy.
But does he?
Not like
crazy. He doesn't do anything crazy.
Not like crazy in a bad way. He's not like Ezra Miller crazy.
No, but I mean, he's not even
he's like crazy uncle crazy.
But I don't even, he's not even like Tom Cruise crazy. What does he do that's crazy uncle crazy?
Tom Cruise crazy is like pushing the boundaries.
That's no, like
he's not like jumping on couches professing love to people, but he seems like a really kind of wacky kind of guy.
But see, that Tom Cruise thing, that was just overcompensation. Because there was a lot of rumor about his sexuality back then.
Well, there always has been.
Right, but it was really bad then. That whole experience was all about that. Yeah. He was just overcompensating.
But no, I'm not saying that good Jeff Goldblum is like crazy in a bad way. I mean, like,
he's just Hollywood crazy.
Yeah, like funny, so, weird kind of crazy.
But he's like, if he's Hollywood crazy, then just normal.
By the way, I don't know why I was thinking of this, but I read an article or interview talking, or maybe a clip of an interview I saw. But anyway, it was talking about it was one of the Saturday Night Live cast members talking about Chris Farley and said that the one thing that really pushed Chris Farley over the edge was his Chippendales skit that he did with Patrick Swayze. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was one of his most famous, too.
I know, but they said his entire life he's been like the stupid fat guy.
Right.
And he said that it was that scene that really like cemented that in his mind.
Hmm.
And then like, they said like after that scene, like he would, you know, months and months later, a year later, whatever it was, they'd be out somewhere and like in the middle of a conversation, a normal conversation, he would like just like flop on the ground and make, oh, you know, stupid fat guy falls. And just makes really, really kind of like.
That's what I say about Kevin James.
Off.
Hey. What?
Kevin James, for the most part, every role, he's just a fat guy who falls down. And he made millions of dollars doing that. And I would joke to say that I will do that for half the price.
I heard he's kind of a jackass too.
Yeah, I've heard he's.
And isn't he married to like some super hot lady too?
Yeah. Well, he's got money, of course he is.
That's true.
If I was rich, I'd be married to someone super hot too.
Yeah.
And look at me.
Fat guy falls down.
Fat guy falls down. I'm like. All of his movies, like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't fall in any of my movies. He's just, like, the cool dad. He's, like, the fun.
What was one where he was, like, the boxing guy?
That's actually the only movie of his I like. Yeah. Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
I like all the daddy, what are they called now?
Grown-up movies?
Yes, grown-up.
I like the grown-up movies, but he's just part of the ensemble.
Yeah, that's an ensemble.
It's more. It's actually more of an SNL reunion for me.
Yeah.
That's why I like it, but.
What was the other one with? A matchmaker one. Was it him and Will Smith?
Yeah.
Was it Hitch? Or no, it was Click? Click was
Click Adam is Adam Sandler. Yeah.
They did do a matchmaking movie together. Yeah. I don't remember what it was
called. I don't remember which one it was called. Yeah. I think Will Smith did a couple of them, though.
Well, he did Hitch.
Yeah.
But he did another one with Kevin James. So what's new with Will Smith? Has he got any new movies coming out anytime soon?
He did publicly apologize.
Was Hitch. Sorry, Hitch.
It was Hitch. Was
Hitch? Okay. Yeah, look at that. I got something right.
Yeah.
He did publicly apologize to Chris Rock, and I think it's mainly because like
the roles weren't coming in anymore.
Well,
the offers weren't coming
in. His wife even like publicly apologize. Well, said that she wasn't happy about it. And obviously, she's got to do that. It was all damage control.
Yeah,
it was definitely all damage control because he was losing.
Took him a long time to do it though.
Millions of fucking dollars. Yeah. Well, because there for a while they didn't know if anything was going to happen.
Right.
And then, like, when roles started getting pulled and things like that, and projects, he had like 10 projects that were all put on hold because of that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fucking move on.
Right. I mean, Chris Rock has. He's not doing, he's not our.
Chris Rock's making fucking money off of it.
Right, exactly.
He's talking about it doing, you know.
In his stand up.
In his stand up, so, yeah.
Yeah, more power to him. He shouldn't have gotten slapped, so.
Well, yeah, then you get, what's his name, got stabbed on stage.
Dave Chappelle was a
No.
Salman Rushdie?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's been a long time coming. But hey, you know what? We live in a world right now where freedom of speech really is in danger to a degree. Just depends on whose speech and who thinks theirs is being taken away.
Yeah, that's always been the case, though. I mean, well, I should say always. It's been the case, and that's the case on both sides.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, man, the Democrats have a big fucking problem.
They do.
That's the way that a lot of people look at the Democrats. A lot of this, like, cancel culture and shit like that is
they see it as a liberal thing.
A lot of times it is.
It is, yeah. I know, there's this, have you been watching Bill Maher? I know you really don't.
No, because he's kind of falling off the fucking.
The deep end. His new rules from last week was, I wholeheartedly agree with, because there's someone else who said it. Well, you know that James Franco was cast as Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
And what's his name? John Leguizamo made a stink about it because he's not Latino.
Yeah. Mm.
And Bill Maher's point, as it should be, is you're so what? Yeah, he's an actor.
It shouldn't matter, yeah.
If you're only going to cast Latino actors in Latino roles, that's worse than, you know, what they consider whitewashing, in my opinion, it is. Because now you're pigeonholing people. If you look Latino, you can only play Latino.
So let's switch it then. So Tom Cruise can now go play Martin Luther King Jr., right?
No.
Why not?
But see, that's the thing. It's not
the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Totally race on that.
I guess, but
I don't know. Unless
what
they
make
I look
see,
like
I
it.
Definitely see both sides of that because I see
because they're actors. Now, we live in a time where more and more black actors are getting the recognition and getting the roles that they deserve. So you really
but they're still not gonna to. If they're not gonna go play Bill Clinton. That's you.
Right.
You're saying that it's not okay for someone to play a black person unless you're black, but it doesn't matter who plays a Latino person.
Yeah,
I see
what you're saying. Yeah. But
if it's an iconic role for somebody who is actually black, Italian, whatever, then that needs to be what they're represented as, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess I don't know. Maybe they make him look it and appear, and I guess that would be okay because
but I don't even know if that I'd be okay with that though, because then you're taking someone, then you're saying, okay, this person is a good actor, has nothing to do with their acting, but we're gonna make them look like this Hispanic guy to play this role. How different is that? Any different? I mean, that's really no different than people doing like blackface in the early
2000s. Well, that's where I get that. What got me on this subject, because this was an issue for me before Bill Maher brought it up, the guy who brought back Doctor Who in 2005 is a gay writer, and he made a comment a few years ago that only gay people should play gay characters. If you have a gay character, you have to cast a gay actor.
No, I don't agree with that.
And I didn't either. I'm like, but again, I kind of looked at the reverse of it. Does that mean that gay actors can't play straight characters?
Right. No, I think
so. That's what I mean. It's like you're acting.
Yeah, but like
if there was a Latino actor,
I think sexuality
is different than race.
It's different than race.
It is,
and it's different than like the Marvel movies. Anybody can be Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an iconic. He's not real. He's not
But if you're taking like
so, what you're saying is maybe that the line should be drawn at who the character is if it's a real person.
Correct.
Okay. And I can understand
that. That's
it.
I would say.
Yeah.
Especially someone like Fidel Castro. Someone
I don't
who
want some
like,
skinny girl like come and play me in my movie. That's not going to be accurate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's plenty of, blonde girls out there who could pull it off.
So, yeah.
I don't know. If they ever made a movie about me, I'd be cool with, Michael B. Jordan playing me. That'd be awesome. I'd be down with that. You know, but hey, that's
so, yeah,
just me.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Mandy said. Yeah, if it's
I guess seeing it from that perspective, but this is becoming an issue within Hollywood too. It's like where it's, you know, everything has to, in the interest of being accepting, everything has to be sectioned off now. And it's
so just, do you have a problem with all the cast and crew being black making Black Panther?
No, because that's kind of the point. It's like, if you're going out to do that, you know, that, especially with that character, you're talking about kind of a milestone situation. You don't want to fuck that up. If Black Panther had been made in the 90s, it wouldn't have been that.
No.
You would have had black actors, but you wouldn't have had black producers. You wouldn't have had black directors, black writers. You wouldn't have had all that. So that's important.
So if I'm, but that's what I'm saying though, is if I'm looking to make a movie, mm-hmm. I think like to honor the heritage of the role, right. You'd use someone that understands the heritage or is familiar with the heritage of that.
Well, you brought up, I guess there was some stink about the West Side Story movie, too, with what type of Latino person that was being represented, too.
Mm.
And I've never seen it. I saw the original. I had no interest in seeing the new one.
Yeah. I don't remember anything being talked about.
There was some issue with it, and I don't remember what it was either, but he brought it up. And it's like, does that matter? I mean, are we going to nitpick to that level?
I mean, it depends, because I will say, as someone that has worked with lots of different Hispanic people.
Right. There's like, obviously differences.
There's very, very, very big differences between people from like Puerto Rico and then Costa Rica.
Right.
You know, so if you're trying to fill a specific role,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, all Hispanic people aren't the same.
Right.
You know, so if you're trying to fit a certain role, then I would understand why you'd look for a specific kind of Hispanic character.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Person to play the role.
I wouldn't go so far as playing the role, but I think that person needs to be involved in the authenticity of the role.
Yes.
As long as somebody can play it the correct way, I think that's fine.
Yeah, if you're from Costa Rica and you're playing a character who's from Puerto Rico, you'd probably want to adjust how you spoke, because I'm assuming there'd be dialect issues, different dialects involved. So yeah,
well,
I mean, if you're bring
out different dialects within
everything, I know that's
well. That's is this comparable, like the South and the North? Like you go in the South, you have a draw, you have a different way of speaking. Yeah, so do you think that's?
I think
Bill
Maher was looking at it more from the perspective of, how far are we willing to take this? Because this is not the first time this kind of thing has come up. And a lot of times it is more sexuality related. But, you know, yes, you don't have Tom Cruise playing Malcolm, you know, Martin Luther King. Right. But equally, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, this actor playing this role, and only because that role is that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, get the best actor. That's all I want.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I think Bill Maher's kind of fallen off the deep end on a lot of stuff lately, though.
I don't know. Yes. I still watch him, and I don't have a problem.
He thinks people are disgusting, and like he thinks we're celebrating being fat. I'm like, no, MRFer, we're just trying to be accepted.
And I thought it was really kind of rich coming from a guy who's wealthy that can afford.
He said that before too. That, you know, he does.
Well, he had a whole like 15-minute diatribe a couple weeks ago about it.
I know. I watch him every week.
Yeah. I was like, it's...
Yeah. I know. The problem is he's not wrong.
He came off as very entitled.
Yes. Yeah. He's not wrong about Americans eating like shit. We do.
But we don't celebrate that. Yeah. His idea
is he's taking it to that extreme. Yes. And the idea that...
Well, no, he brought up the fact that they were putting like plus-sized models on swimsuit cover.
Right.
That's
well,
what, I mean.
what he's pointing out is that, you know, they're...
It's not,
I don't know,
it's
I guess...
It's not it being done in celebration. It's being done in recognition of that's what normal people look like.
I think what he's pointing out, though, is you don't want to make it so that that's just as it should be, though.
But why can't it be? Why can't I see a picture of me on a magazine?
That's fine. What I think he's pointing out is that there's this culture of, and it's not everybody. I think that's the problem. Where he fell short, because he doesn't point out that most people who are overweight aren't overweight because they eat Big Macs every day, yeah, like me. They're overweight because they have other health issues that lead to that.
Yeah, that was one of the things I had a big issue with. That's where he dropped the ball. He kind of equated it all to
the Big Mac. McDonald's.
You're fat.
Just close
the refrigerator door and push it.
Exactly. Yeah,
table.
That's where he dropped the ball.
There's a lot of people that, like you said, are bigger not because of what they eat.
Right.
It's other health reasons. It's genetics play a big role in it.
Absolutely.
Also.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where he definitely dropped the ball. I definitely see how that can come off as bad. Yeah. And I'm not gonna,
like I said,
there's a lot of things he says that I don't agree with.
The rich guy sitting in his White Castle,
right?
Telling the peasants how to eat,
right?
Yeah, it came off as, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to remember too, he is a comedian at the end of the day, so everything tends to be a slightly more hyperbolic than it should be.
I don't know if that really was though, because that's not the first time.
No,
he's
it's
done
not.
That.
Definitely not the first time, but you know. If you go to the grocery store, we really don't look at the ingredients of shit. And when I have looked at the ingredients of shit, it's terrifying. So,
well, there's a lot of stuff in the U.S. isn't sold in other countries. Mountain Dew isn't sold in other countries.
It's banned in other countries
because of a lot of the dyes and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of dyes that we have in our food,
mm-hmm,
that are not allowed to be sold in other countries.
Right.
Correct.
Sugar content, quantities, yeah, the Americans, we do eat junk food. We do, and it is more expensive to eat healthy, which makes no sense because you're technically eating less and you're eating stuff that is put into those other foods.
Well, because it's cheaper to make shit food.
Yeah, I know. That's my point.
Because you can take whatever. You can take something.
And that's really the hill he should be dying on, not fat people are gross,
yeah,
which is how it does come off.
No. Mm-hmm. But it would be, yeah, it'd be more beneficial to change that argument and say that these food companies, mm-hmm, these big businesses, and the FDA, they're allowing our country to be the way it is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
And you can't.
He's blaming the victims.
A lot of times. Yeah. We still have a choice. You know, I'm only talking.
You don't have a choice when it comes to genetics.
No,
you don't have a choice.
And
when it comes
to
health issues.
And I'm genetically predisposed to being slightly bigger than I you know should otherwise be medically speaking. But that's the other problem too. Is we have image that we're dealing with, but we're also dealing with, as far as the medical standards are for healthy weight, those standards are way lower than they should be.
Yeah.
They're for my height and body, mm-hmm, mass, I should weigh 140 pounds.
Yeah, it's
by medically speaking. There's no way. I haven't been 140 pounds since I was like 16. Yeah. There's no fucking way.
Well, I mean, but the other thing is we rely on things that it's still taught today, the food pyramid. I think they finally changed the food pyramid, did they?
Yeah.
But like the food pyramid we were taught growing up was complete bullshit.
Right. Well, and I think the new one is just as bad.
But it's not as bad, mm-hmm, but you know,
it's still bad.
The food pyramid we were taught was something that the big business food companies created.
Right. No, I know. I agree everything you guys have said. And I don't want to – I didn't go into – excuse what he said, because I definitely think, mm-hmm, he's dying on the wrong hill, or at least the wrong side of the hill.
Yeah.
Because he really should, like you said, be going after the industries.
The industry that's creating the problem.
That promotes that.
Yeah.
But there is, like I said, we do have to accept some level of responsibility. You know, I don't have to have McDonald's every week. You know,
why do we care? Why do we have to keep worrying about how this person looks different, this person's health? Like, let them do their health. Like, I got less healthy being 100 pounds lighter than I am now. Same thing for my sister. We both had no medical issues at all being heavier. Both of us lost an extreme amount of weight, and now we both have more like lower blood pressure, higher blood pressure, or just things that are wacky sugar sometimes, and it's things
which
like that never occurred before.
Some of that could be equated to aging also.
Yeah, as I say, you're also younger because I can feel my body falling apart.
It doesn't just happen right after.
No,
the
I've been feeling it for a while, but
like,
it's getting
obvious.
It's getting really bad now. So,
but I just think it was like going after the wrong people.
Yeah, and that's fair. I don't agree with his stance on how we've handled COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, his isn't extreme.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing. In that same episode, he made a comment about how he felt freer in Florida. And I was like, man, that really sounds like...
I remember
like,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the crazy guy on just, HBO that we used to watch all the time?
Dennis Miller.
Yeah. That sounded like a very Dennis Miller kind of comment.
Well, the difference is Dennis Miller was all like, after 9/11, he's like, George Bush, and everything George Bush says is perfect. You know, at least on the political side of things, Bill Maher is still where he's always been.
Yeah.
So on the social side, yeah. I kind of agree with him, but I also, because we see it on the medical side, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's just done it. He's done with it. He's tired of the restrictions. He's tired of everything. And they're all being lifted now, and it's cool. He never was against them. He just didn't like them.
Yeah. You know? And I think the whole point of their conversation on that was, you know, it was that the commercial that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, made directed to the people of Florida.
Right. Well, and his other point is that, and this is true with all science, what we know may not necessarily be right.
Yeah, that was the other thing. He had some very anti-science comments.
No, his comments.
No, because he said multiple times that he doesn't trust doctors and things like that.
Yeah,
and
I think you're taking it, pushing it too far. Because ultimately what he's saying is that just because today they're saying one thing doesn't mean it won't change tomorrow. The science is evolving is what he's saying. The problem is that
he's saying don't trust them because of that though.
Nah, I never.
Yeah,
got
that's
that
yeah. It's almost verbatim what he said.
Nah. No, because he goes to doctors too.
And he's made multiple comments. No, I mean specifically about COVID.
Right. Well, what he's pointing out is that one week they were saying one thing, the next week they were saying another. What he was pointing out was that the science was constantly evolving, but because everyone was so polarized on the one side, what was said this week is gospel, and to one side and heresy to the other. Mm-hmm. That's really what he's pointing out, is that we as a society were looking at science on a weekly basis as gospel rather than understanding that things are going to change and how it was presented.
Well, science always changes.
Right. That's but how point. It was presented.
Yeah. But that's not how he was presenting
that, But that is exactly what he said. How it was presented.
He made two comments about not trusting doctors. And that's, I think, a dangerous comment and a dangerous game to play, especially in the current, you know, health situation we've been in the last 2 years. That's where you start getting the, oh, well, use ivermectin and shit like that.
Well, no, he's not what he's...
Obviously, he's not going to that extreme.
Outside of those two
comments... But that's where those kind of comments can lead to.
Outside of those two comments, he's really pointing out that because science is ever-evolving... Applying this gospel level attention to one thing at one time and not giving any room to anything else, and how there were times where, because he's looking at it from the liberal side of things, because he lives in liberal California. Yeah. He's pointing out how people were vilified for even asking questions. And that was true. That happened all the time.
Yeah.
And that you weren't even allowed. We weren't even allowed to say the word COVID on YouTube, but we were worried about getting fucking banned.
Well, you could.
But it would be demonetized.
It could be.
You know, so it didn't even matter what we were saying, just that fucking word. And that's kind of what he was getting at, more than anything. I don't remember him ever saying, don't trust doctors.
Yeah, he said it twice. In two different episodes, he said it. Because both times I was like, well, that's kind of fucking
And I don't
weird.
Think he's talking about your personal doctor. I think he's talking about the higher-ups, the Fauci-type doctor.
Even with that.
Right.
Like, to make a comment about not trusting your doctor or not trusting doctors, not trusting the science behind it, I think is a very dangerous kind of road to go down.
Every time.
Going back to the whole YouTube COVID thing.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you could be, but we weren't out bitching and complaining about it. We just
No, but I'm just saying, there was just, you know, whenever you start doing that, it's dangerous because that's censorship too.
It was, but that was almost. Because that's not the case now. You can talk about it now, and there's no consequences.
That's because it's over.
Well, it's because of what was going on at that time, the level of misinformation that was being pushed through social media. They had to be like, look, we just need to cut it all off and not talk about it one side or the other side.
I guess that's fair, but then no one's asking questions.
And they weren't. It wasn't.
And that's all.
You couldn't talk about COVID on YouTube. It was, we're only going to allow news organizations to discuss, or doctor or medical institutions to discuss COVID. They didn't want us talking about
COVID. Well, it wasn't even that. You got all bent out of shape because I said the COVID something. We weren't even talking about COVID. It was just referencing the fact that we were, you know, couldn't go.
I didn't get bent out of shape about it, but...
We made me retake the retake.
Yeah, because I don't want to. Because I don't want to have something happen. Us get demonetized over.
That's what I'm talking about. When you start having to think about what you're saying to that level, we weren't talking about COVID. It was just part of that particular. Oh, going to the record stores after COVID or something like that.
No, well, It was just the fact of would we have gotten demonetized from it? Probably not.
Right.
But I didn't want to chance it. Why even mess with it? Because we aren't.
I don't want to chance it if I say that I support this political party. I just won't say it.
that's not what I'm saying, though.
No, I know that's not what you're saying, but that's what it could become. It has become in many areas. And I'm just saying, as far as Bill Maher, he also says, ask questions. He's not saying don't trust your doctors. You say he did. I don't remember that. But
he did twice.
But he does all the time say, ask questions. Question it.
Well, you should question everything.
Exactly. That's all he was saying.
Even going back to the very beginning of this episode, you should question your government.
Right. And the problem was that on one side, you had everyone saying, do not question Fauci. He knows everything. And then the other side, don't believe Fauci at all. So that is basically sums up that, and he doesn't like the restrictions. But he followed the restrictions 100% all the time.
Yeah.
So
because he had to.
Right. My problem is that he also says they need to ask questions about whether or not it possibly could have come from China in a laboratory rather than just the bats thing.
And it did not. There's been like multiple reports. There's multiple research studies that have come out last week.
And that's all he was saying. He didn't say that he believed it did. He just said, we're not even allowed to ask that question.
That's like saying, well, we should be asking questions about whether the earth is really round.
But that we can see that. You can't see where a virus starts. I mean, you can if you investigate.
We know where the virus came from.
Bats.
Yes.
That people were eating.
No, not necessarily. You don't necessarily have to eat them to get it. But
I'm just saying. I think you're over exaggerating where Bill Maher's going. But yeah, I said this to my mom. I don't agree with him as much as I used to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. But I don't need to.
Yeah.
I still enjoy watching his show.
I will say that he's in a lot of areas he's leaned away from the liberal aspect of it and gone into the libertarian aspect of it.
He's always walked that line.
Yeah.
You know, he's always walked that line. Yeah. Even back in the politically incorrect days, he was walking that line. So
I don't know. We've run like super, super long, so we kind of had to hear. But who knows? Who knows what the future holds? We did it for 5.5 years. We'll see if we do something again in the future. Mm-hmm. You can always find us on YouTube at The Vinyl Den.
Yep.
We still have an email address to email us at. But what's our email address? Do you remember?
LifeingeneralPod@gmail.com. Yeah. How could I forget? It's not like this is 5 years ago we did our last show. It was 2 weeks ago we recorded. I think I remember 2 weeks ago.
But thanks for being on our last show, Mandy.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are our most used guest. I want to say
because I live here.
I want to say you were on like over 20 episodes of the show, though, something like that.
Yeah.
What are we going to do New Year's?
I don't know. Enjoy New Year's.
We could do exactly the same thing, not record it.
Yeah. Right. We could do it upstairs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A little bit more room, maybe.
I know.
I was thinking about that a couple days ago. I was like, man, like, I'm going to have, like, Fridays off where I'm not going to be recording. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Because normally we record on, like, every other Friday when we have it off, so.
Well, we'll still have 2 weeks. We'll have to do our vinyl done. But after that, we're going to double it up so that we're only doing it once a month.
Yeah, that'd be.
Once a month.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I'm the one that has to fucking drive here with $5 gas prices.
Tell me about it. I'm the one that's got to edit for hours on end.
Well, you can do that at home.
Still.
I have to burn gas to get here. Where are my car?
It takes me a lot longer to edit than it is for you to drive.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost you anything to edit.
Just family time.
Yeah. Well, that's I'm not getting involved in that.
All right, so. But that's it. That's all I got, guys.
Yep. Not until next time.
Nope. Until we talk again, I guess.
See you on the other side.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Play my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm bout about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a guard around me. Dip like I know you can, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got the two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas aight, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bruh. We taking a dub, hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick-me-up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's some dollar sign. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon. Oh shit, watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Right now, and I'm smiling in your face, bitch. With a gold smile, you should probably make placement. To your eye, niggas sick as fuck. Standing with niggas who die for that party. Who die for some bitches who showing their bodies. Swear to God, nigga, this Molly got me up and rolling. These bodies of water. Bring that shit in bottles.